About 10 years ago, podcasts splashed onto the media scene and became the big new thing. Producers were scrambling to make the next big podcast. Entire podcasting companies were created to cash in on the success. Everybody, it seemed like, wanted a piece of the podcasting pie, but the big money and ad deals didn't always live up to expectations. This year saw rounds of layoffs at major companies like Spotify and flagship shows canceled at public radio stations like NPR and WNYC. Our next guest follows the podcast industry. She's here to talk to us about podcasting's first boom and bust cycle, at least in many parts of the industry. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your take on podcasts? Have you been listening for years now? Are you just discovering some? Do you have a favorite? Is that favorite one still being created? Where do you go to listen to podcasts? What platform? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ariel Shapiro is the lead reporter of The Verge's audio industry newsletter, Hot Pod. She's a UW-Madison graduate, by the way. Ariel, thanks a lot for joining us today. Do we have Ariel? Are you there? Looks like I don't have audio on Ariel. Again, you could join in at 800-642-1234 to tell us about your podcast listening habits, if any. Join in at 800-642-1234. Ariel, I think we've got you. Hi.
Hey, Rob. So happy to be here. And sorry for the technical difficulties.
Well, that's live radio. Podcasts can just edit that stuff out, but we're stuck with it here. But that's okay. I like it. Ariel, we've seen a lot happen in podcasts this year. Can you give us an overview, especially when we're talking about these produced podcasts, limited run specials, things like that? How big a shakeup has there been?
Yeah. So the kind of podcast that people think of as being these sort of anchor podcasts, right? Like in-depth narrative limited series, those are really having trouble right now. And part of that is because, and I think you alluded to this in your intro, there was a lot of investment in this space in the past several years, particularly by Spotify. Spotify bought Gimlet, which was one of the biggest independent podcast studios in the industry making these kind of series. And over the past year, they laid off almost the entirety of Gimlet staff. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the only place where we've seen this happening, right? There have been layoffs at NPR, at PRX, at Pushkin Industries, which is the podcast studio that is co-owned by Malcolm Gladwell. And part of the reason is there's sort of this idea, if you build it, they will come, right? Like there's definitely an appetite for these kind of podcasts. We saw that with Serial when it really exploded mm-hmm. on the scene. The problem is, has that advertising money come in, and is it enough to sustain the kind of production necessary for these shows? So not all podcasts are affected, right? Like always on chat podcasts, think of the Dax Shepherds, think of the Joe Rogans and the people who emulate Joe Rogan. Those are pretty cheap to make and they're easy to produce, whereas these more in-depth podcasts require a lot more work, a lot more reporting. It requires people, engineers. And at the end of the day, a lot of these companies saw that the math just wasn't working out, which is really unfortunate if you're a podcast lover, right? Like you want to see these kind of shows being made. And we don't want to see a world where the podcast landscape is, just celebrity chat shows.
It seems like podcasts are facing the same challenge as a lot of old media, a lot of new media, in that there's unlimited amounts of content out there. A lot of it is free for users. How do we get people to pay either in subscription, or how do we tap into a pool of finite advertising money? It turns out there's nothing special about podcasts compared to other media sources when it came to revenue.
Yeah, exactly. And you've seen some subscription efforts take off. It's been really successful at a place like Defector, which is really an interesting case. They had Normal Gossip, which if you haven't listened to it, is an absolutely fantastic podcast and was a really original premise, right? It was this show, very well made and actually very well researched, but just about everyday sort of ridiculous stories. And they've managed to build up not only an advertising business, but also a subscription business. But it's really an outlier. And it took off kind of the traditional way, right? Like word of mouth, people recommending the show to their friends. And it went viral from there. The problem is that discovery for podcasts is really difficult. And part of that is that it's audio, right? So the way that a lot of things will go viral on social media, it'll be through images and videos. You know, a lot of people now watch these videos with the sound off and the captions on. And some podcasts have managed to take advantage of this, video podcasts like Call Her Daddy with Alex Cooper, which is, you know, currently being produced by Spotify. But not everyone has the money to do that. And, you know, if we're getting into the video space, like really what's the difference between a video podcast and a YouTube video? So, you know, it's been really challenging for a lot of these, even very established podcast outlets to find a way to market their shows and find enough audience to really get that advertising revenue in.
Talking to Ariel Shapiro from The Verge, looking at the rise of podcasts, a big shakeup in the industry this year, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are now or ever have been a regular listener to a podcast or many podcasts, join in with your experiences at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Jason is with us in Rapid River, Michigan. Jason, hi.
Hi. Your screener, she convinced me to stay on the line here. The reason I'm calling, I'm up in Rapid because I'm up at my camp here. It's very cold right now, but what I experienced the last couple of days is I don't want to listen to any of my inventory. And so your screener mentioned that listener burnout might be part of the conversation here. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the Bulwark podcast, the whole spectrum that they have. You might be familiar with Charlie Sykes.
Oh, I've talked to him a time or two.
That whole Bulwark lineup is great. And, you know, I used to listen to a lot of Joe Rogan and the Meteor, but I don't even know. I have no taste for it, and it's really weird what happened the last couple of days, and I think I'm experiencing the burnout.
Interesting, Jason. Thanks a lot. Is that a concern in podcast industry, Ariel, where, hey, it was this novelty, is this cool new thing for a while, and now, eh?
I mean, yes and no, right? Like I even find myself, right, like kind of burning out through my podcasts, or I'll cycle through them. Like I'll listen to them really regularly for a while and then kind of fall off, maybe come back to it later. I don't think people are burning out on it as a medium. I think that people tend to find other podcasts that pique their interests and that they can really get interested in. But again, for these individual producers and individual shows, yeah, maintaining an audience can be difficult, especially when there's so much out there. And you know, you also sometimes have these chat podcasts that can be 2 hours long, 3 hours long. You know, at a certain point, you've heard enough. So it's really about kind of, I do think people in the industry are thinking more closely about structure and about ways they can create podcasts that keep people on, not just through force of personality, right? Like not just because you're listening to someone that you really like, that, you know, maybe think Joe Rogan's funny. Maybe you think Theo Von is another one who's really coming up the ranks that people love. That it's not just that, that there are ways to have podcasts that are always on, but maybe you're getting a little bit more innovative with structure or the way that they produce.
Jason, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Ariel, I want to talk about the bewildering amount of ways that people listen to podcasts, maybe even define them. I've had people say they like my podcast. I don't have a podcast. I have this show, but they're listening to the archive version online later in the day. I guess that's a podcast for them. Spotify might produce a show, the Joe Rogan Show. You can only hear it on Spotify. Somebody else might produce a podcast. You can listen on their website at Apple and YouTube. I can't keep track. Is that creating confusion in the industry? Is that causing some of the problems?
So, I mean, yeah, this is something that we actually talk about all the time at The Verge and also at some of these podcast industry events that I've been to. You know, what is a podcast? And right now, that's not something that's so simple because, yes, a lot of podcasts that people consume were originally radio shows. And that's actually something that you're seeing a lot of these public media outlets do, is focus on shows that can be on the radio first and then become a podcast. Then you have, you know, podcast first, but then you have YouTube shows that are functionally podcasts, but like, again, what are, you know, what exactly are they? And then muddying the waters even more are audiobooks. So now you see Spotify bringing audiobooks onto the platform, and increasingly they are, you know, traditionally think of an audiobook as maybe it's Pride and Prejudice, right? And it's one narrator who's doing the entire book. Now, because of podcasts, these audiobook producers are being pressured to create audiobooks that sound more like podcasts. You know, maybe they're shorter, they have multiple voices working in there, they have archival sound. And again, where do you really draw that line? So yeah, I mean, I guess if you can listen to it on the internet, it's a podcast, it's kind of complicated. And everyone's still trying to figure out where to draw that line. And that's particularly, it's particularly an issue when it does come to audiobooks, because they're used to charging a lot of money for audiobooks, right? If you have an Audible subscription, that's $15 a month for one audiobook. No one's paying $15 a month for one podcast a month. So, you know, again, the market is still figuring itself out.
Ariel Shapiro is with us, lead reporter of Hot Pod, an audio industry newsletter from The Verge. She's with us today to talk about podcasting's boom and bust cycle, including shakeups in the industry this year that could change what kind of podcasts get made, how they are made and distributed, what you end up listening to. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you listen to podcasts? Have these big changes to the industry affected your listening experience? What kind of podcasts would you like to see get more funding and support? Do you like ones produced by various public radio outlets, private outlets, you name it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with reporter Ariel Shapiro from The Verge about layoffs, show cancellations in the podcast industry, what it could mean for the future of podcasting and your listening experience. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you checked out podcasts over the years? Are the ones you've gotten hooked on? Do you like investigative reporting, long-form interviews, true crime, business advice, former sitcom ensemble players who maybe stoned and talk about conspiracy theories? Whatever you like, let us know about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Lauren is with us in Wauwatosa. Lauren, hi.
Hi, avid podcaster here. So glad to be on. I'm glad you guys are talking about this. I have a comment and a question for thought. I'm that friend who is always like, oh, I was listening to a podcast and heard this, right? And I will say that once the big media companies seem to come in and start kind of formally and professionally producing podcasts, it seems like it took away from the original mystique, was this kind of like independent landscape where people were exploring with production quality and doing investigations independently. And obviously there needs to be revenue, you know, driving some of that. But I think it's driven some fatigue. We hear the same advertisers over and over, so there loses this authenticity. Kind of used to feel connected to your podcast host that they were recommending a product, right? So that was something you tolerated. So that's just something I've personally noticed. And it's driven me more towards audiobooks. So like that long form, high quality investigation, I'm turning more to books, which is an interesting reflection.
Interesting experience, Lauren. Thanks so much for sharing that. Ariel, this, I'm guessing Lauren's not the only one who's thought this, that, hey, they were kind of cool to start, then big business got into it and they all kind of blanded out a little bit. Is this something you've heard from other people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, and I want to be a little bit fair to the big business here, in that when Spotify got into it, you know, they were making some really interesting, incredible shows, right? Like How to Save a Planet was the best podcast on the market about climate change. And it was getting at it in really thoughtful and important ways. But when push came to shove and it wasn't making a profit, you know, it was gone. And that's sort of the problem, right? Is that you had all this money come in, bring in really smart people, creative producers who wanted to make great stuff. I mean, it's the same thing you saw in video streaming, right? Where you had all this incredible content that wasn't possible before. Then, right, then reality hits and it's not just about growth and it's about margin. And when you have a for-profit company that where it's really about their bottom line, like that's going to take precedence over everything. And so, yeah, now you're seeing the effect of that, of what are the most profitable shows. And again, this goes back to the celebrity chat shows, and it does become sort of monotonous. They're certainly not the kind of shows that I like to listen to. It doesn't mean that they don't value. Mm-hmm. I will even defend Joe Rogan in that he is certainly an interesting interviewer, and there's a reason why people listen to him, right? But yeah, it makes perfect sense that Lauren would turn to audiobooks, because on the flip side, you're going to see that kind of in-depth exploration that she's looking for. And also, there's been so much innovation in terms of audio production that they've been able to ingest that has come out of the podcast movement. So, you know, it's not all bad, right? like thing, you know, things change and they shift. And I do believe that, you know, the industry will mature and figure itself out and find a way to support these shows, because there are so many people who want to make them. But, you know, it's a difficult time right now. So, and obviously that has an effect on consumers.
Thanks for that call, Lauren. Jenny is with us now in Lake Geneva. Jenny, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, so for a living, I'm a mobile dog groomer. So most of my day is spent with ear protection on. I listen to so many podcasts every day. Actually, I listen to this show via podcast, but for some random reason today, I ran out of my Monday podcast and
yay,
thought I'd call. And there are also really good Wisconsin podcasts out there. For example, I live in Lake Geneva, and we have, I forget her name, but a woman who does a really great local show and interviews local businesses. And I absolutely have learned so much from that one. I love, like, Charlie Behrens has mm-hmm. a podcast. He's in Wisconsin, and lots of comedies and people that have like science facts and things too. I'm just full of information all day from podcasts.
Fantastic. Jenny, thanks so much for sharing that and for listening live today and calling in. Ariel, is this something you've seen? I know there are more hyper local or state level podcasts that aren't trying to reach the whole world. Is this a trend? Is this is there room for growth in saying, hey, we've got a local audience we want to reach out to?
I think there's definitely room for growth. And I love that she brought that up, because it really shows the possibilities, right, that are there with podcasts, in that if you're not looking to make a hit, massive 10 million downloads an episode show, you know, there can be a market for that. And look, I live in New York. We don't have, I'm not saying there are no local podcasts. There are definitely some, but a lot of the media here is geared towards more of a national audience. But like, I listen to The Brian Lehrer Show every single day. You know, if I can listen to it on the radio, I do. And if not, then I listen to it as a podcast later. And there's so much value in local shows that talk to issues that actually matter to people, like, on a day-to-day basis. And one thing that I had been hearing too is about finding ways to locally target, to basically geo-target ads, right? You come up with ads that are geared towards people based on their location. And that was sort of thought of as a national endeavor, right? It's a way that you can do programmatic ads for a national show, make those ads more relevant to the listener. But there's so much possibility, right, in terms of getting that local advertising and, you know, focusing, being able to get money from businesses in your community that want to be heard by the people in your community, right? Like, I love the idea of local podcasts. There are definitely some. There's not enough yet. But, you know, again, in this period of reconsidering what the industry can look like, I really hope there will be more.
Thanks again for that call. And just our last minute and a half or so, Ariel, want to look toward the future. You've written about so-called AI, artificial intelligence, large language models, and the podcast industry figuring out what to do and not to do with them.
Yeah. That's a doozy of a thing to end with. Well, I will say I was on maternity leave this year and I left in April. And when I left, it was like AI panic. And everyone was freaking out, and I'm back, and it's more like AI acceptance, right? And people are figuring out ways to incorporate AI into shows in a smart way. And this is something. This is a story I'm working on right now. Actually, is looking at some of those ways that aren't corrosive for the industry overall, right? Like, I don't think any of us want podcasts that are completely AI generated. You know, what's the point? But it does open up some different ways of producing podcasts that can be interesting, like creating voiceovers for social media posts, which is the way that so many people communicate now, for which there's no audio. Anyway, the point is that you'll start seeing it incorporated in lots of ways and in ways that you don't even know about. I mean, hopefully they do a disclosure, but they may not always. So it definitely has the power to transform what we listen to.
Ariel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Ariel Shapiro, lead reporter for The Verge's audio industry newsletter, Hot Pod, and a graduate of UW-Madison. She joined us today for a look at the ups and downs of the podcast industry, where it might be headed next. Still time for you to share your thoughts, your favorite podcast now, or maybe one that has come and gone. Let us know about it. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.